Hi, my name is Kim. You're listening to Historia.
You're listening to Historia Podcast. I am your host, Kim. Tonight we have Mori from the Life of Mori YouTube channel. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Hi, Kim. Wow, thank you for having me.
Yes, so happy to have you on. So first, I just want to know, how are things going? I believe you're in Japan right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want
yes,
to know,
I am.
What's the situation right now?
Oh, when it comes to the coronavirus situation, it's getting better. They already lifted up the state of emergency just last week. So I guess it's getting better. So hopefully it will end soon.
Yes, amazing. Mm-hmm. It's actually contrary here in the Philippines. It's getting worse and worse. And in the capital region, I think the kind of cases are starting to rise up again. Mm-hmm. And I think it's at 9,000 for today. I think 9,000 cases today. So it's on the point that it's super alarming.
That's a lot.
Yes. And not to mention the vaccines, you know, the state of vaccines here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would say it's kind of political. No, I would say it's too political, right?
I see.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it gets better there because, you know, I also have families there that I'm really worried about. So
yeah.
So when will the vaccine start? Like, did they start vaccinating the frontliners?
When it comes to vaccinating, I think they've already rolled out the nation, donated vaccines, and then being injected to frontliners, and still there's a lot more that needs to be done when it comes to vaccines.
Yeah, I see. Stay safe. Please stay safe, and everyone who's listening in your podcast as well, stay safe, everyone.
Thank you. Yeah, we will, for sure. Now, what I want to begin, we actually already started, but at this point, what I want you to do is to have you introduce yourself. Please tell us a little bit more about where you're from, who you are, and what you're working on today.
Okay, so again, hi everyone. My name is Mori. I am 28 years old. I'm actually from the Philippines, but currently living in Japan. I am currently on spring break. So the school ended last 2 weeks and I'm on break right now, but still actually busy with work when it comes to YouTube. So I'm editing my upcoming videos for my YouTube channel.
Nice.
Yes.
You're a teacher. Your main job is a teacher and probably a language teacher, I suppose, I would assume.
Yes. Okay. I am an English teacher in elementary schools here in Japan.
Fantastic. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
My background is also my day job is also, not really a day job, but the afternoon job is also an online teacher. I am also an English teacher. So that's amazing. Yeah.
Wow, that's great. I think I should get tips from you.
Oh, no. I'm still a beginner, though. I still got a lot more to improve on myself. Yeah. But overall, it's fun. The teaching is really fun.
It is. Very fun.
Especially for some students, and then you innovate with all those. You have to bring those props and
yes,
Realia, exactly. All those tools that you have to use, and even my
yes, you're stuff. Basically you need to be very creative to be a teacher.
Correct. That's right. Wow. And on the side hustle, you do YouTube videos, and congratulations for your success. I can see that you already have 46,000 subscribers. Oh my God! Oh. It's just a short
do I? Yeah. I haven't really checked. Thank you so much. Wow!
in just a short period of time. Yeah. Wow. It's just
thank you so much.
All right. Now, since you mentioned about you are now on the spring break, you focus your hustle on doing YouTube videos and so what is your day-to-day life? Please describe us a day in your life. Like, what is the life of Maury behind the camera?
Okay, so a day in my life is actually very simple. So again, I'm an English teacher in an elementary school. So I usually spend my weekdays at work. So when I get home, I do household chores and then study Japanese on my free time. And then on weekends, that's where I shoot or edit videos for my YouTube channel. And then I also spend time with my friends and loved ones. It's very simple. It's minimalist living.
Wow. And also the Japanese. You study Japanese, right?
I do.
Can you give us a sample of you speaking Japanese? I'd love to hear that.
Okay. I'm not prepared though. Okay. I'm actually nervous. Okay. What do I say? Okay. Maybe I can just do a short introduction, I guess.
Nice. I love that.
Okay. Okay. 皆さんこんばんは。私の名前は森です。はじめまして。私は28歳です。今、英語の先生の仕事をやってます。よろしくお願いします。
Wow. ありがとうございます。
But wait, did you understand it?
No. No. I don't understand. I only probably understood a few words because of the... what I consume on my videos. I actually consume animated Japanese series. So I can understand just a little, super little.
Yeah, so I just basically like introduced myself. I told them like I am Niju Hasai, which means 28 years old. And then I said that I am an Eigono sensei, which means English teacher.
Wow.
So that's just it.
Yes. You know what? I can only recall a few lines on Japanese language.
Oh.
Which is essentially from anime.
Okay, what are those?
Shinderu. Nani?
Good job. I love the accent.
Yeah. I think that's from Fist of the North Star, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Good job.
Because it's a meme, right?
Yes, very popular.
Right now. A very popular meme. And it does never die, right? I can still see it even nowadays. And also a lot of memes from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Right? There's a ton of references on it.
You'll really definitely learn Japanese by just watching anime.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Now, at this point, I want to go with your origin story.
Okay.
So, what was the start of Maury? What was your life before you came to Japan, before you became an English teacher? And what made you decide to become a content creator, become a teacher, and all those stuff?
Okay, so first of all, I was a marketing coordinator at one of the top universities in the Philippines. I'm not sure if I can mention it, but yes, one of the top universities there. So I was a marketing coordinator. But then ever since I was a kid, I already know that I really want to go to Japan. It's always been there, that dream. So finally, when that day came, I left my stable job, my stable career in the Philippines to pursue my dream of going to Japan. So I became a student. So from a working girl to a student. But when I was still a student in a Japanese language school here in Japan, I actually kept getting a lot of questions about the student life here. So from my friends, from my family. So I thought to myself, why don't I just make a channel where I can share my life here in Japan? But I was really busy that time because I was also working part-time. Now, when I became an English teacher after graduation, there was a whole month where we did not have any work because of the pandemic. So I was really down. But instead of constantly feeling down, I eventually became motivated to pursue what I really love, which is YouTubing. So that's when it started. So I started conceptualizing, planning. I did a lot of research about vlogging, my target niche. I watch a lot of YouTube videos where I draw inspiration. And on May of last year, 2020, using just my phone and my selfie stick, I created my first ever video. And the rest is history. It's Life of Mori.
Wow, fantastic. And hold on right there. I just want to know, how did you, about the YouTube stuff, how did you know right away that YouTube is going to be your passion, YouTube is going to be your career? How did you know that right away?
Well, I actually graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Mass Communication. So I already have a background when it comes to video editing, videography, photography, like that. So ever since I was in college, I already know, like, I want to create videos. So I think that's where it started. But originally, my YouTube channel is just for memory keepsake. I did not know it will be a big thing. It's originally just for myself. But now, growing this followers, it's really a surprise for me.
Oh, I see. So there's a little bit of background as well. I can also relate to that because me as a person, I also have the mass communications degree.
So
definitely relate
to that. Wow.
So, and I believe that many or a lot of people who have this media background, they're really exposed to cameras. If not cameras, they're really exposed to writing.
Right, yes.
There's just a ton of things to do, right?
I know, like when you're in mass comm, there are a lot of things that you want to do, you want to explore.
Correct. Indeed. Okay, so now we have the you're now a content creator, right? You have maintained it for a year, right? Almost a year now. Almost. As you live your life in Japan, since I know a little bit that you're documenting your stuff, you're documenting your life in Japan. Now, what quality of life changes have you adapted throughout your stay?
So actually, I had a lot of adjustments, especially with their way of living. So first of all, what surprised me is that you cannot enter the house with your outdoor shoes. So you always need to have an indoor shoes, both in school and at home. I'm not sure if it also applies at work. I guess yes, but they always have indoor shoes. So again, that's one. The next is they segregate the garbages. They have their own garbage plastic for each type of garbage, for biodegradable, non-biodegradable. They're very strict on that. So, and then, but I think one major thing that I'm really impressed about is how they value time. So in the Philippines, we have this thing called Filipino time, right? Where, yes. So it basically means like late, being late or not following the assigned time. But actually being late is very unacceptable here in Japan. Very unacceptable. When they set a time, they usually arrive 15 to 30 minutes ahead or earlier, because when you arrive on time, it's actually considered already late. So that's just some of the things that really surprised me here in Japan.
Whoa. One thing that when it comes to probably segregation of waste bins or trash here, here in the Philippines, we do segregate, but what really annoys me is that after they segregated, it would just end up in the same, when they're collected in a dump truck, and then...
I see.
No, it's not working here. Oh my God, it's just terrible.
I see. Here they segregate the plastic bottles. The caps goes into the biodegradable garbage, but the plastic bottle is separated.
It's really, they really have the strict rules when it comes to waste management.
Yeah. Very disciplined.
Amazing. And I think when it comes to slipper footwear, we just, here in the Philippines, right? We just do wear one slipper and then we wear it anywhere, inside, outside.
Yes.
There's no, this, you know, you really can't distinguish if there's an outdoor slipper sometimes. So, yeah.
Yes. It's really a big thing here. Like, you need to buy your separate shoes just for indoors.
Okay. So what about the stereotypes that turn out to be false? Were there, for example, when you, what you've thought of Japan, and then when you came there, oh, it's actually different. It's false. What do you think?
I actually don't have an expectation versus reality moment here in Japan, because I already know that their way of lifestyle is very different from the ones in anime. I think like anime lovers will think of Japan as very cutesy, something like that, very cool, but it's actually very far from that. It's not like that. They are, I think they are very serious, especially with work. So that's one. And what else? I think, how about you? May I ask you, what are the things that you think that's what Japan is all about?
I would say for many people, not but huge percentage of people who are interested in Japan, most likely they're interested in anime. When they get there, when we go there, or for some reason they don't do their homework, they're not really that. There's this kind of feeling that the anime doesn't, you know, it's really different from the
film. It's different.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
very,
they have
very
this,
different.
I think they're kind of mixing it with reality, right? In a way.
Yes. So yes.
I can't really tell that much, because for me, I just, just consuming anime and that's it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so coming here in Japan, it will be different. It's very different from anime. But what's same with anime here are the beautiful sceneries.
Oh. Yeah.
Japan is very beautiful.
Indeed.
So I think that's the same.
Yeah, and most of the scenes, I would definitely say this. For example, in the one of the most popular films, animated films, the world, right? It's Your Name.
My favorite. Yes.
Yeah. Some of the scenes were inspired by the places. Okay. Places. Right?
Yes. You can actually visit them at Tokyo. They're very real. A lot of people are taking pictures. Like, when you visit Tokyo, that's one of the must go places if you're a fan of Your Name.
Yeah, especially the ladder, right?
I guess it's ladder. Very popular.
The last scene. Also the lake, I believe.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Also the lake. And not only in that particular movie, there are a ton of other series.
Yes. Yes.
That are, you know, you can
inspired.
Inspired from places, in real places, for sure.
Yes.
Right. So, what is something you wish you knew when you came to Japan?
I wish I was better at Japanese before I came to Japan. Because language barrier is really like the hardest part of living as a foreigner here in Japan. Like, I wish I could have studied better when it comes to the Japanese language. I think it would be a big advantage for me if I am more fluent before I come here in Japan. So that's a tip. If you ever want to visit Japan, even as a tourist, I think it's a must to know at least the greetings or how to say, how much is this? You know, where is this? The basics. I think it's a must.
Mm. One more interesting thing is that, was there a time that you were taken advantage of, you know, because you don't know the language? I really wonder about that.
Mm-hmm. Thankfully and fortunately, most of the people that I've met here are very, very kind, very polite, and welcoming when it comes to foreigners. So I'm grateful for that because I actually live in the rural area. So I think I mostly meet older people, and they are very welcoming when it comes to foreigners. They're actually very accommodating. Whenever I have questions, they are helpful. They answer me greatly to the great extent of their knowledge. So I'm grateful for that. But of course, there are also a lot of cases with other foreigners when they experience discrimination. But again, I cannot say it for everyone else. It's a case-to-case basis. But for me, fortunately, most of the people that I've met are really good.
Wow. That's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
For many people, especially in other countries, if you don't know the language, they would definitely mm-hmm. freak you out, right? Like they would, mm-hmm. For example, here in the Philippines, they would say, mm-hmm. I'm going to cuss here. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. When you say, putangina mo, and then for some, it will say that it means you're beautiful, right? But it's actually a curse, right? It's actually a custom there, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the rule. Before you go to a country, make sure you learn the bad words first. Yeah, that's a tip.
Right, indeed. Mm. Okay. So, okay. Since you're teaching for many years, mm-hmm. right? Probably I don't know how many years, but for sure quite a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is something you found unique with their education system?
Right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to their education system, you know, the kids are given responsibilities at an early age. That's what I noticed. That's why I think it's one of the reasons why they are very disciplined, even at a young age. For one, they don't have a janitor at school. The students and teachers are the ones cleaning the school. And then kids here also travel by themselves. Even small kids, they travel by themselves, even without the assistance of older people or adults. Also, on elementary schools, they focus more on interpersonal relationships rather than grades. So I know, for one, what I experienced in the Philippines, like we focus on grades, like how high our grades are. Yeah. Like we don't want to fail, right? That's our focus. We don't want to fail. But here on elementary schools, they don't focus on that. They are more on interpersonal relationships, good manners, and right conduct. So I think that's very unique.
I see. When it comes to teaching the discipline, I think mm-hmm. in some schools, especially the rural mm-hmm. schools, I can find similarities here in the Philippines because they don't have janitor. Mm-hmm. And we will have these group of people who will be set as cleaners for the day.
Mm-hmm.
For example, on Monday, you have this 5 kids
mm-hmm.
who will be cleaning at the end of the... Mm-hmm. at the end of the day, and then mm-hmm. and so on and so forth.
And yes.
What I can found, something common at least.
Mm-hmm. So, wow.
Great, great one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in cities, I'm not really sure in cities because it's really big.
Mm-hmm.
Classrooms, ton of students.
Yes.
Four students, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, it would definitely have a janitor.
Yes.
A janitor in the area.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What are some things that, when it comes to education system, you're a teacher, for example. Mm-hmm. What are some things that you can apply, for for example, in Japan, you're teaching mm-hmm. in Japan that you can probably mm-hmm. apply with teachings, you know, with teaching mm-hmm. styles here in the Philippines or any other countries or mm-hmm. their teaching career.
Actually, when it comes to teaching, it's really like it depends on you, what your style is. But now for teachers or aspiring teachers, what I learned from the Japanese elementary teachers, just to be specific, because I can't say for like Japanese junior high school teachers, but since I observe a lot of Japanese elementary teachers, what they try to do is to build good relationships with the kids. So they are serious in class when it comes to classroom management, but outside the classroom, especially in breaks, they can be playful. Like, it's really surprising. Teachers can be serious at the right time, but can also be playful at the right time as well. So I think that's what I really, that's one of the stereotypes actually, because I thought that Japanese teachers are very serious or very strict, but actually Japanese elementary teachers are very warm, very cool, and very fun to be with. So I think that's what anyone can apply to their teaching style. Build camaraderie towards the kids and be playful. Enjoy.
Amazing. Whoa. My gosh. That's really awesome. Okay, so when it comes to your profession as a teacher and at the same time a content creator, I'd like mm-hmm. to know the most tedious part of your process, the most time consuming. What really consumes your time the most?
Well, first, as a teacher, or at the same time, like a teacher and a YouTube creator.
Yep.
Do you mean that? Oh, I see. The most tedious would be the editing, I guess. It takes a lot. Oh no, not that, but the script writing, because as you see, my videos are mostly silent vlogs, so I am more on words, so I want to be able to share my story using the right words, even without speaking, but just through words. So that's very time consuming for me. Like, it will take me actually a week to finish a script for one vlog, so that's very time consuming.
I see. And how do you feel about it?
I actually enjoy it, because like what I said, creating this YouTube channel is first for my memory keepsake, but at the same time, I actually really want to share my life here in Japan. So by script writing, this is where my creative juices comes out. Like, what are the right words for me to use so that people can also experience what I experienced here, even when they haven't experienced being in Japan here. So it's actually very fun, although it's hard, but it's very fun for me.
Nice. Love that. So you consider when you love something, even the most time consuming can be really fun.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Same for me too. Right. Just the same for me. Mm-hmm. Content creation. I would create content every day, every single day.
And wow.
Yeah. I kind of eased up a little bit when it comes to mm-hmm. creating content.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I focused on TikTok. I didn't even know you loved it.
Wow. Yeah, it. Good job. So, well, I heard TikTok is a very good platform as well.
Indeed. Yeah. So that's where my focus is at mm-hmm. lately. So I've been creating a little more TikTok videos lately, and then I kind of
great.
My attention with other platforms are not that super. Mm-hmm. The time is not that.
Mm-hmm.
I spend less hours now than other platforms. Nice. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So in one of your vlogs, okay, you mentioned that there are some people who were happy seeing you fail, right?
Mm-hmm.
They would mock you or they would put you down, right?
Yeah.
How did you overcome them? You know, what mm-hmm. supported you during those tough times, tough moments?
Mm-hmm. Actually, what supported me all these years, even until now, is my faith in God. I don't want to sound religious, but that's really it. That's what really helped me through those tough times. So during those times when people would constantly doubt if I'd ever get to Japan, I actually questioned myself as well. Lord, is this really for me? Should I really pursue this? Because there were a lot of hardships, you know, but I was also constantly reminded that the Lord has good plans for me and that I should not listen to other people, but rather I should listen to His words and what His promises are. Because I really strongly believe that going to Japan is one of His promises that He will fulfill in my life. So, and aside from that, of course, I'm thankful that I have a very supportive support system, my family and my friends who believes in me. You know, they would really push me hard to, no, don't give up. That's your dream. So that's what really strengthened me during those tough times, my faith in God and my family and loved ones.
Cool. At least you have these, mm-hmm. The environment. You know, I'm a firm believer of that. I've said this many, many times on my podcast already, mm-hmm. that I'm a firm believer of the environment. If, for example, you're the building, right? Mm-hmm. You're that structure. Mm-hmm. You're unbreakable on your own. You have this sheer willpower, right?
Yes.
But then people around you, they're bringing you down, right? They're,
mm-hmm.
For example, if I were to compare this on a building, they would mm-hmm. hammer you. They would all those things. They would drill and drill to put you down. And if mm-hmm. if you're surrounded by those tools, by those people, by those environment, mm-hmm. eventually those foundations you have or your willpower will eventually break down.
Yes.
It's really serious. And however, if you're surrounded again with other houses, with other people who are mm-hmm. building you up, right? Or mm-hmm. also building their house as well, they're building you up too. So, that's it.
Yes. Basically, your support system is very important when it comes to achieving your dreams. Like, what I really learned from this experience is that you should not listen to people who don't matter in your life. You should only listen to those who matter, right? So, I stopped listening to what the naysayers say. Like, if they don't believe that I can do it, I don't care. Because the people who I love and who loves me too believes in me. So that's what's important.
Now, I want to go a little bit deeper with that instance. Will you be able to tell us the story about those people or that instance where people are happy seeing you fail, they're bringing you down? And can you share mm-hmm. with us a little bit about that?
Actually, it's very personal. It's actually very personal. I think I will not mention a lot of things, but before I go to Japan, I was actually set to go here on April of 2018. And then during that time, I was delayed. For some reason, I was delayed. The one who's processing my visa told me that I will be able to go to Japan by October. So by that time, I already told the people that I'm going to Japan on April. And then when they heard that, you're not going to go to Japan this April. Oh, I don't think you'll ever be able to go. That's their initial reaction. And I'm like, okay. if that's what you think. And they actually believe them at some point. Because what's happening? Why is this happening? And then there were some points where those people even gossiped, spread rumors that I'm just lying, that I'm really not going to Japan, something like that. It's a very horrible situation. And you know what? The best revenge for me is by not saying anything, but by showing them that you can achieve your dreams. So when I went here in Japan, like, I just lived my happy life. I just showed them that, okay, I'm proving you wrong. I'm here now. So, yeah. Wow. I'm not sure if I can, like, deliver this story very well, because, again, it's very personal, but, like, that's the summary.
Okay, that's great. Because I could heard that saying that the greatest revenge is... Mm-hmm. Being successful, right? Those people, proving them wrong,
Right? Like, you don't have to fight them, like, with negativity, right? Just show them, okay. Like, even in silence, you'll see me rise. You'll see me be successful.
And then they'll be shocked, right? Oh my!
Exactly.
And then they were like, oh.
Kind of, congratulations!
Yeah, indeed, right. So they were the kind of they kind of change their attitude towards you, and then they would. Okay. Okay. That's fantastic. Now that you're very successful, I'd like to know what's next for life, Mori. What's your vision and long-term goals at this point?
Honestly, I still don't consider myself, like, very successful, because there are still a lot of things that I want to accomplish, you know. But what I can say is that I am very happy in where I am in life right now. Like, I'm very happy right now. So first, I am doing my best to study Japanese, because I do want to become a translator or interpreter of the Japanese language. That's, like, my dream. But, like, knowing right now that I'm still far from being fluent in Japanese, like I know myself right now, I just want to enjoy every bit of my stay here in Japan. So as an English teacher, I have no plans of changing my career yet, but maybe in the future I would want to pursue a career in being a translator.
So nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tried being an interpreter, it's so damn hard, because you really have to be attentive to what they're saying. Sometimes their sentences are very long, and you can't catch up. I tried that. It's super hard. No, both languages. I tried from English to Tagalog, and oh my god, it's just hard.
Yes, I know. It's really hard, and, like, being an interpreter to another language, like, right, like, Japanese is really, like, a foreign language for me. I know that it's really hard, so I need to study well on that. But yeah, I know someday.
All right, we're getting close to that. We're getting close to making your own steps. You're already living that dream. You're already on the environment where you are in Japan right now. You can actually learn more Japanese. Yes. So that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So what are your pieces of advice for those people who are trying to achieve their dreams? For example, going to Japan or being a teacher or content creator. What can you give, or what can you advise to those people?
Okay, so this is already a cliche, but I will say it again, because this is really based from my experience. But what I can give, what an advice that I can give to dreamers out there, is to never give up. Like, my Japan dream is how many years in the making? I'm 28. It's 28 years in the making. Like, ever since I was a kid, I already wanted to go to Japan. But I did not give up on that dream. And now I'm here. So that's my advice. Never give up. You know, you can actually see how much a person wants something by how that person pursues it. So if a person gives up easily, then that person probably doesn't want it that much. So it's really a matter of how much you want that dream. It will never be easy. It will be hard in achieving that dream. But don't give up. You will get tired. Just rest. But don't give up. So do your best. God will do the rest. And again, do not give up on that dream. You will get there. You will achieve it.
Fantastic. Don't ever give up. I mean, you can give up some ways. For example, changing your strategy, right? You can give up some of the things that you do. Right? But on the sense of not giving up on your main goal, right?
Yes.
Main purpose or main thing that you wanted to achieve. But in some ways, you can probably give up something, a thing or two, just to change the strategy to, and then from there, you can still go with the same goal or
with your goal.
Objective.
Actually, like achieving your dream requires a lot of sacrifices. Sometimes it will like make you sacrifice on another good career, on some relationships. It will require a lot of sacrifices. But again, it's a matter of how much do you want that dream. If you really want it, you go for it. And you know, we were talking earlier and I was really inspired by your story. I admire you. And we were talking earlier about like the first step in achieving your dream is to just do it, right?
Yeah.
That's the first step. you have your plans. It's all in your head, but you're not doing anything. So take action. Just do it, right?
Yes. Execution, indeed. Yeah. I know that you really have to plan for things. Right? Mm-hmm. Execution is way more. You can do more with execution. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, indeed. So please follow to all my listeners who are, of course, listening. Follow Life of Mori on YouTube and also on Instagram. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's now on 46,000 subscribers. That's really a lot. You know? So
thank you so much.
You will definitely learn a lot from her. I have consumed her videos about her life story as well. A little bit of research, of course, about her life.
Wow.
Life of Mori and you know, some of her ways with her videos. So it's really awesome. Yeah, very nice.
Thank you so much, Kim. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, you're welcome. I really appreciate you, Mori. And please take care and you enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.
You too. Please stay safe. And again, thank you to your listeners as well. I'm grateful for the opportunity and you stay safe as well. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Arigato gozaimasu.
Oh, good job. Arigato gozaimasu.